Bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Let's sing that one more time. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus. Well, amen. Before we go to prayer and go to our normal service this morning, we have a dedication of little Jeremiah Luke Roper. And therefore, at this time, will the parents, Brother Elizabeth and Brother Nick, come forward. Now, the scripture says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up the child in the way that he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Just look at the examples in the scriptures where the godly mother raised up her child and her children to serve the Lord. And first we see Jochebed, the mother of Moses, where would the man be if it hadn't been for the godly instruction of his mother while raising him for Pharaoh's sister? And then look at Hannah, how that she raised up Samuel until he was old enough to serve in the temple. And look at the impression that that she left upon him before she turned him over to Eli the prophet to be trained as a priest. And then we're going to look at scripture this morning. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31, and we're going to look at King Lemuel, who was raised up by his mother with the following words. So the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for the kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that are heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is above all rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and the portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of the household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, when the scripture tells us to train up the child in the way that they'll go, it is telling you that the role, that your role in life is to bring forth this child, to train this child up, guiding them along the right path in life. And unless you're walking in that right path yourself and guiding them along the right path in life, and unless you're instructing that child in the ways of the Lord, then that child will turn out like the rest of this world. Therefore, you're not only to instruct them, but your very actions and the way that you live your life yourself becomes a way of life for your child. Your children will do what they see you do, and they will say what they hear you say. Therefore, train up your child in the way that you want him to go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's a real sad indication and indictment upon this nation when the newspapers would write articles about children and their very first words, and those first words are four-letter words, because that's what they hear out of their parents' mouth. So if your children can hear about God, His Son Jesus, His mercy, His grace, His love for mankind, that's the words that'll come forth from His mouth. In Matthew 18, verse 1, I'd like to read, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged upon his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses will come. But woe to the man by whom those offenses come. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter in life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two, and be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of thy Father which is in heaven, or of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man, and I just like to stop there, because we've seen time and time again, like we had a tornado here about 20-some years ago, about 20-some miles south, and we see how the tornado came, ripped up, opened the house, took the parents out, took the child and a little crib out, and set the child down two blocks away. We had this in Joplin happen not too long ago as well. You see, it's usually little children that this happens to, because, as Brother Branham said, their angels are watching over them. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, or is it not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish? God's not willing that any would perish. In fact, Jesus said, No man can pluck them out of my hand. So, for you parents and family and friends of this little Jeremiah, we have a promise for you, all of you, from Jesus. In Matthew 10, verse 42, it says, And whosoever shall give drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That reward is eternal, which means that God is going to have to, somehow, at the white throne, you will be pardoned and you will have eternal life, because we believe that whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. Let's pray at this time. And let me just lay hands on the parents and on the little child. Dear gracious Father, we just come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing, Father, we have examples in the Scripture of those who laid their hand, or those who raised up their children in the admonition of thee. You said, train them up in the way that they shall go, and when they get old, they will not depart. So, Father, as I lay hands upon the parents of little Jeremiah Luke, we just pray, Father, that you would cause them in their hearts, Lord, to, with everything that lays within them, to raise up this child in the admonition of Jesus Christ, instructing him in the way that he should go. And even as Brother Branham said that the wife is a little preacher to her children, we pray that Sister Elizabeth would take on the role that John Wesley's mother did, Susanna, because we know that she spent the whole time instructing her children and doing the household chores and taking time every day to pray with 13 children and to instruct them in the Scriptures. And out from that instruction came forth men like John Wesley, men like Charles Wesley,
And we see how Moses' mother instructed him, and he knew his role. He just hadn't heard from God yet when he tried to do it on his own. But he knew his role because his mother had planted that seed in his heart. And so we pray that both these parents, we ask that you would anoint them, Father, to this task. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Lord Jeremiah. I'm always praying and I pray for you.
Let's all stand to our feet, and if we would sing Only Believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
This morning to Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, and I think I cut off my first or second here, so let me just see which one it is. Let's try 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And we know iniquity is to know to do right, and you don't do it. Also, 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But there were false... we'll just close at that. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read two scriptures, Lord, both warning us to and admonishing us, Lord, to take heed to the word. And that because we're living in the day, as Matthew 24 tells us, that the day when that the deception would be so great that it would deceive even the very elect if it were possible. But we know that your word is planted in the hearts and minds and souls of the very elect. And therefore, they, knowing thy word and being a part of thy word, as Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and no other voice will they follow. So, Father, we're thankful that you have made us this way, and that we have caught the voice of God to us in this generation through the lips of your prophet. And believing, Father, that we have, thus saith the Lord, we can stand, as Paul said, when we have done all we can do to stand, then we will stand therefore. Help us, Father, today as we study further in the spoken word, its original seed, to catch the thoughts that your prophet is laying out for us, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice Peter says, but there, as it were, false prophets among you, or among the brethren, people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately or privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And so the Weiss translation says, these men will be of such a character as to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies. So they've got to be preaching the true doctrine in order to bring destructive heresies. And that is exactly what the King James Version says, if you read it correctly. It says these false teachers will bring in, so we have to ask, bring into where? And if it's brought in, then it really wasn't meant to be there in the first place. You remember the parable of the sower when for sowing seed, and then in the very same field, the Satan came behind him sowing seed. And now you say, well, you know, that's got to be a really despicable person. No, listen, Jesus said to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, because the words that he was saying were not God's words. You know, he said, I don't remember exactly, it was right before the Gethsemane experience, but Peter said, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, before this night's over, you'll deny me three times. And also when the disciples came back, and Judas was among them, and they had been casting out devils. And there was one little town they went into, and the town rejected them. So the town rejected them. And so what happened? John and James, I think it was they were brothers, and they were saying, hey, Lord, you know, they rejected you, so should we do like Elijah and cast down fire out of heaven? And Jesus said, you don't know what kind of spirit you've got. You see, you can be a son of God and still be anointed by a wrong spirit. And therefore, these men crept in, false teachers crept in unaware, and right amongst the true doctrine, and they taught destructive heresy. Now, we know the true doctrine, of course, would have to be the message of this hour. And so they would creep right into the message and deny the very one that bought them. Who's that? Jesus. He paid the price. You see? It says these false teachers will bring in. So we say bring into where? Well, if it's it has to be brought into this message. And if it is brought in, then it really wasn't meant to be there in the first place. So if we're talking about the Word of God, which is the thoughts of God, then what they bring in is not God's thoughts, it's their own thoughts. And it's called destructive heresies. It will produce something. Every seed will bring forth after its kind. Every seed will produce something. It says, and what will they produce? Even denying the Lord who bought them. And who is the Lord that bought them? Jesus bought us with his own blood. So they must deny the Son of God, and in doing so, they deny that God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they will not understand the Godhead, and so they will fabricate their own version of the Godhead, such as saying that the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in the church or in the bride, as we brought out Wednesday night. Now this morning we're going to continue with our study from Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, and we're going to pick up at paragraph 192. Brother Branham says, He will be correctly dedicated to the Word, as they have always been indicated by God's Word, and a vindicated. Now, these two terms that Brother Branham uses here, indicated and vindicated, are thrown around pretty loosely. And they mean two different things altogether. The first word, indicated, means pointed out or suggested. So Brother Branham is speaking of how that person would have to be pointed out or suggested in the Scriptures. In other words, you can see that person spoken of in the Word, of God, either directly or indirectly. So we see that the ministry he's talking about will be seen somewhere in the Scripture, suggested by Scripture, or pointed out in the Scripture. The other term he used was avindicated, And Brother Branham always used a vindicated, or the prefix A before vindicated. And I found years ago in studying that prefix, it actually means ongoing. In other words, God just doesn't vindicate him one time and then he's on his own. God's there to back him up no matter what. All right? And then the word vindicate, which has to do with backing up or defense, or in the usage here, speaks of justification of the person or his ministry. Well, then he continues. He says, God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah, for it is Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. Jesus said in the last days it would be like Lot's time. His preaching will be with the Spirit and straight line of God's word. Because so much has been called God's truth, many will misunderstand this true messenger. And I've got wrote here P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, prophecy. Because so much has been called God's truth by fakers, many true ministers will misunderstand that messenger. Now, there are two things that will be that I'd like to examine here from this paragraph of Brother Branham's. And number one is vindication. And the other is the fact that this person will come straight with the Word of God, and everything he tells us, you will be able to find right here in your Bible. But we'll have to split these into these two topics up because into two services, because right now I've got nearly 20 pages on these, and I think it's just too much for this morning. And actually, it's too much for one sitting. Brother Vell has told me years ago, he said, the people can only absorb what they can in the chair, so in your mind. So anyway, so Wednesday night we're going to speak on vindication. This morning we're going to look at this thought of God's prophet coming with the Word of God and not deviating one iota from it. And if you cannot find what he's telling you in the Bible, it is because you do not understand what he's saying. Too many people pick up the quote books and they read quote after quote after quote after quote, but they can't find it in the Scriptures. And so they've got all kinds of things. Like Jesus said, go ye therefore and do likewise. And another verse of Scripture says, Judas hung himself. So we find Judas hung himself here. And over here it says, go ye therefore and do likewise. So I guess we got justification to go out and hang ourselves, right? I mean, that's how they do not rightly divide the word of truth. But we are commanded by God to rightly divide the word of truth, which means that if you've got, like Billy Paul always says, you got on a rifle, you got the hindsight, which is the message for the hour, and you got the front sight, which is your Bible. And if you can't get those two to line up exactly right, you're going to miss the target. And if you can't take the message back to the Bible, then you don't know the message. And that's the problem we have in this message, is many, many ministers, usually elders, it's not a true fivefold ministry because they know they're called right from the time they're young kids. They don't, at the age of 40 years old, go from one occupation to another and say, well, now it's time to be preacher. Or as I mentioned on Wednesday night, it seems to be the mode in all the churches. It seems to be like, well, now I've been a trustee for 10 years, and now I've been a deacon for 10 years. Now it's time for promotion to pastor. And so they think that it's just a normal, common evolution. Either you're called or you're not called, and it's the elders that mess up the church. Now, so if you can't tell, if you don't know what Brother Branham is saying, what scriptures he's talking from, then you better go investigate the scriptures first before you try to make any doctrine out of what he's telling you. And that's the stand that I've taken over the years, and I've taken a lot of criticism over it because that's the way my ministry works. I take what Brother Branham told us, and I take it back to the scriptures. And perhaps somewhere between 85-90% of what I say is either a quote from God's prophet or scripture. And when I put together my sermons, I use royal blue for Brother Branham's words because I think he was a real royal seed of Abraham. And I use blood red for the scriptures because Brother Branham would sing that song, it's dripping with blood. It's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood, the blood of disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. And so I use red. And so when you read on the internet, you see the sermons, you've got the blue, you've got the red. And then I use black in between for my comments or those of any other one that I'd be commenting, unless it's Antichrist, and I use burnt brown. And because if it's against the scripture, I use burnt brown because, that's the ashes of the wicked we'll be walking out upon. But anyway, when I when I uh, when I put these things together like that, I you can actually tell by just a glance how much of it is my words tying in between Brother Branham and the Scripture. And you find that my words are very limited in most cases. And but that's my ministry. That's who I am. I'm just your brother. I really don't believe that there's any big ones or little ones in this message. We're all in this together. We're all sons. We're all sons and daughters of God. And there is no big ones among us. And we all have a role to play in the family, and that's about it. But I'd like to thank, before I go any further, I'd like to thank Brother Daniel Frangos from Australia for sending me some wonderful quotes on this subject, a handful. We were discussing this on the phone before I went to Europe, and he was telling me that he really appreciated the way that I took Brother Brown's words back to the Scripture. And he said he didn't know of any other preacher who did it. And I mentioned that, well, that's the way that I've always believed it. And you know, Brother Vail, I believe that Brother Vail did the same thing because, you know, he was the only one I knew of throughout the, you know, early years of my ministry, especially, who took the Word of God and or took Brother Branham's message and then took his thoughts back to the Word of God. So I'm thankful for that and to have been his mentor, him to have been my mentor. But from Brother Branham said from his sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, if God doesn't speak back through His Word when we see something, then just leave it alone. But as long as it's the Word, then I know that heavens and earth will pass away, but His Word will never fail. Therefore, I believe the Bible to be the absolute truth of God, and it isn't to be added to or taken away from, but just lived, preached in sincerity, in simplicity, lived the way it's wrote. And if ever God, if it ever was God, He's still God. And if this is His word, and He made a promise that He cannot back up, then He wouldn't be God. So we have our absolute, and that is the Scriptures. And everything, Brother Branham, you know, some people hold up the message book and say, "That's my absolute." And they don't understand that that's no different from this. One man said, "Well, if I had to take Brother Branham's sermons or the Bible or Lee Vail's," he said this, he said, "I'd take Lee Vail's." And I said, "The man's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about." Brother Branham took this for his absolute. And everything he said came from this Bible. So whether it's Brother Branham, Brother Vail, myself, whoever, if we're not saying it from this Bible, then we stand correction. And you find Brother Branham, as a vindicated prophet of God, said the same thing. He said, if you find me or any of my people working with me saying anything that you can't find in here, you come to us. Because we want to be right by the Scriptures. From church order, Brother Branham said, you get two men, you got two opinions. It's got to come to one final absolute, and my absolute is the Word, the Bible. From his sermon, Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever, he said, in the time of the meeting, if I ever say anything or any of my co-workers does or says anything towards teaching that's not found in this Bible, you let me know about it. So when men will come and teach that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride, show me in the Scriptures. And don't show me some wrong Scripture. You better show me it correctly in the Scriptures. From explaining the ministry, he said, and let's just search back. If that isn't scriptural, then leave it alone. If I ever say anything in your presence as a doctrine or a teaching that's not in the Bible, forget it. Because it's not right. And any angel, I don't care how real he looks and how inspired he is, if he speaks contrary to the Word, leave him alone. He's not of God. Galatians 1 and 8 said, an angel from heaven preach any other doctrine than that than this is, what already taught, let him be accursed. We don't take nothing but what God said. So, well, let's look for ourselves. Galatians chapter 1, if you'd open your Bibles. Galatians chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's saying it's not another gospel, it's just one that's been twisted. It's a perverted gospel. They take it like this and they hook it. How many ever played baseball in here? Or tried? Right? Tried. Okay. All right. How many of you ever tried to hit a curveball? All right. Unless you're really knowledgeable about how the ball spins. And I had some old friends that lived up the street from us that he was the ticket manager for the Minnesota Vikings, and they were just avid fans. They knew all the great players of most of sports throughout the years, and this goes back in the 60s and 70s. And I'd go up and mow their lawn, and then they'd tell me stories, and they'd tell me how people like Babe Ruth and the different ones that had great hitting careers, they could actually tell you how many times that the laces on that baseball rotated from the time it left the pitcher's fingers to the time it crossed the plate. They had good eyes, good hand contact, good eye-hand coordination. And they could watch that, and they could see it, and they knew if it was a slider or if it was a curveball. They could see by the rotations how it was rotating off the man's hand. You know, we sit back and we are so dumbed down in our society. Now, I'm not just saying because you can't read a baseball. But the fact is, you take the 1911 exam given in Kansas, the eighth grade exam to get out of eighth grade, and I don't think there's a college student today that could pass it. I've got it if you want to take it sometime. I don't think there's a college student that could pass it. I've talked to people that were English majors and they flunked the English section, much less all the science and everything else that goes with it. We are truly dumbed down. Well, we ought to be able to at least read the scriptures. And so he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. And as one of the brothers said the other night, it's been years since I've heard a preacher preach on grace and mercy and the blood of Jesus and things. And another brother said, well, why don't you listen to Brother Brian's sermons? You're going to hear it because that's all we talk about. If our focus is on Jesus Christ and he's our pattern, that's what it should be. And as we're looking in this thought this morning, we're going to find out that there's certain promises for the age which we live. And there's certain promises to the age which we live. Promises for you and promises to the age. Which ones are we focusing on? Okay? He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Heteros gospel. One of a different nature. Which is not another, which is not an allos gospel, which is not a totally different one altogether. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's an allos. It's of a different nature. It's been perverted from the original nature. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Well, if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ, he says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of any man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, we see Paul didn't tell us that. He says, look, we've got a gospel. It's not man's gospel. He said, I don't let people persuade me what I'm going to preach on. It comes from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we, as ministry, would just keep that focus in mind. As Brother Vail said, if you always take vindication, take Alpha and Omega, take twins in every sermon, you'll never go wrong. I know sometimes you don't like to hear about the other side of the coin, but you've got to have both sides of the coin to see the whole coin. Why? Well, go to Zimbabwe. Get some of their coinage. Go get some of their paper money, and it's printed on one side. In fact, that's the way they got in Germany during the when they printed the $1 trillion bills. They started printing them on just one side. You've got to have both sides of the picture, brother, sister, in order to understand what you've got. So, from Christ revealed in His own word, Brother Brown said, in all other words, I don't care how well they're placed, who they come from, what denomination they come from, or how smart the man is, it is to be absolutely ignored anything contrary to the word. If a bright shining angel come up there and stand and say things that was contrary to the word, you'd say, Satan, get away from me. That's right. If he's a bishop, if he's whatever he is, don't you never believe him if he doesn't speak exactly with that Bible, word by word. Watch him. He will carry you with the Bible now. He will carry you to a certain place and then hook it right there. There's your curveball. When you see the Bible saying one thing and he bypasses that, watch him right there. See, that's the way he done Eve. It's a deceptive hour. It's promised for this age. Now listen to what he's telling you here. He says they will use the word of God to a point, then they will come in with a curveball. They will hook it, and since the greatest lie is about 99% true, then that 1% off is what brings the whole thing that they're telling you into a lie. And Brother Brown gave us the illustration of a lie that's 99% true. And he gave the illustration. He said, now, the lie, somebody made up a lie. And he said, I'm using this as an illustration. He said, someone could say, well, Brother Branham, you know, the service finished at 12 o'clock. He said, that's true. And Brother Branham went out and got in his car. That's true. Brother Branham drove down 8th and Penn. That's true. Brother Branham took a left at such a street. That's true. And then Brother Branham went into a bar and got drunk. That's not true. But see, you've got 99% of the story is true. Then the little twist at the end makes it not true. But when people start checking, that's right, Brother Branham left here at 12 o'clock, yep, he got in his car, yep, that's right, he went down 8th and Penn, that's right, and he turned out such, yep, that's right, so then this must be right too. And that's the way people work. That one little lie makes the whole thing death. Death. One word off is Satan's kingdom. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness or unrightwiseness, in other words, having with all the deception of an incorrect understanding in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrightwiseness. Now, how many have ever done a study on the internet and looked up William Branham, and you see 99% of the websites are against him. And they claim that he says things that he never said. The oneness say he was a Trinitarian. The Trinitarians say he was a oneness. And then the people that had an axe to grind against him for some reason, God knows who what. And some of them are people that were in the message for a period of time, but they were under such a legalistic pastor that they got turned off not only from the pastor, but they got turned off from the message. You see? Those men have brought a disrepute to this message. But the thing of it is, and they take and they say, well, Brother Branham said that 1977, that the millennium would start in 1977. He never said that. Brother Branham said, by the way things are going, this is back in the 60s, and then later on, in the later part, like several years after he made that statement, he said, now things have slowed down. He said, so that changes everything. But he said, he made the statement and he said, you know, the way things are going now, he said, I believe, he said, now I'm not prophesying this, but the way I can see it in my physical being, he said, I think that by 1977 it's going to begin to usher in the millennium. And so they say, see, Brother Branham said that they don't even call him brother, they call him Branham. They say, Branham said that the millennium will begin in 1977. He never said that. He said, ushering in. Now, when you have an usher, he takes you from the door, which is the Word, which is Christ, and he takes you to your seat, and he positionally places you in your seat. And I believe in 1977, when Brother Vail began to teach the parousia of Christ, we begin to see the placement. We begin to see the ushering in, you see? And so we're in the time of that great ushering in, the time when we're to be positionally placed in the body of Christ. So those words are very significant, and yet they're overlooked. Now, from God's preparation, Brother Branham said, now, friends, there's many things that the people do and say, perhaps, maybe, and I'm not the judge of the people, but I think any ministry or any demonstration of the Spirit of God that can't be backed up in this Bible, I'd leave it alone. If anything that anyone says that isn't backed up by the Scripture, then I couldn't go with it. Although I wouldn't say it wasn't from God till I seen the fruits of it. Then it wouldn't say nothing about it. I just let it go like that. I don't believe in talking about people. I don't believe that. I believe in rebuking sin and so forth. But talking about, well, this church is not right, and they're nothing but hypocrites, and this pastor is nothing, and that's wrong. You see? Now listen to what the prophet is saying here. He said, if they say anything, that means if they teach on the fullness of the Godhead being in the bride and can't back it up in Scripture, then you better leave it alone. Just don't get into it. But what if they take, even Brother Branham said, look, I never preached on eternal hell until I just left it on the shelf until God revealed it to me. And when God revealed it to him, it came as this. How could you have an eternal hell and go through hell eternally without eternal life? You see? There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God life, and God wouldn't send his own to hell. So hell was made for the devil and his angels and the sinner. And it's to absolutely, eventually, just totally annihilate that sin and sinner. Alright? There's no eternal about it. The Greek word aeonian means from age to age. So it could go a million billion years, but it's going to have an end. But what if they take scripture and misapply it and try to back up what they are saying? Then that shows they have their own agenda, so you better flee them, my brother, because that is what Satan did to Eve and tried it with Jesus also, but it didn't work on him because he was full of the Holy Ghost. And when they use Ephesians 4:12 to try to say that speaks of the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the bride, they don't know what they're talking about. Just because it was translated as fullness doesn't mean it is speaking of the Godhead. And as we pointed out Wednesday night, it actually should have been translated fulfillment or completion. The verse, until we all come in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, is not speaking of the fullness of the Godhead coming into the bride. It is speaking of our coming into the measure or limited portion of the full maturity of character of Christ. In other words, adulthood, and that's why it goes on to say that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, why would Paul jump back and forth? And how in the world could a fivefold ministry bring you to the place of the fullness of the Godhead in you? I mean, since when do we have power and authority over God? They don't realize that the pattern was Christ, and he had no such power himself. Oh, you say, well, he said, all power has been given unto me. That's authority. Authority. The policeman, he can stop a 300-horsepower car, not with his bare might. He has the authority. He has the authority of the state behind him. And we have the authority. Jesus had all authority given to him. Why? Because he was the eldest son. He was adopted. What was the father's was his. 50% became his. All right, now. Always remember and never forget the book of Revelation 22, verse 16. Jesus warns us himself not to add to or take from the scriptures. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the church. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will come, or whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, he said, and the Bible said that Jannes and Jambres would raise up in the last days and almost deceive the very elect. Be careful, brother, and keep it right on the Word of God. Don't leave there a whole lot of things today that's going on that's not coming from that Word, and you leave it alone. Stay with the Bible, because the Bible said it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. But when your name's wrote on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, you know his voice. A stranger you will not follow. I don't care if it's oil pouring out of your hands, feet, and everything else. You know that don't come from the Bible, and you stay with God. Now just watch all kinds of wonders. So this is the age of deception, and we have to be very careful because it's not only deception by phenomena, it's deception by words. You can take the scripture, like one preacher years ago. I learned back when I first met the guy, back in the late 70s, and heard him through the early 80s. And every time he gave a sermon, he was a dynamic preacher, had a very good way with words. He could just preach it really well until he got to the end, and all of a sudden there's a hook. Exactly what Brother Branham said. And just that hook would take you off in another direction. Well, here's another thing that we must be careful about. The Word of God must be in its season. And there are an awful lot of things being taught from the pulpits today that have nothing to do with the age that we live in. And if it's not concerning the age that we live in, forget it. It's not for you. Now listen, friends, I'm not saying these things to be hard. I'm not saying them to be mean-spirited, but there's just too much mining going on for nuggets in this message. And what's happening is people are getting their eyes off the promise for the elect of God in this age. And they're looking at all the glitter, all the little things that are attracting their attention away from the promise. There's far too much speculation going on about this, about that, and the other. Look, we live in an age where there are spirits influencing people. Look at Wall Street, what happened? Speculation, speculation, speculation. Then take it right back to the message. And Brother Branham said, you watch the Jew? He said, you know, that's their timepiece? Then watch what's happening, and you see all that speculation. The Jews have the paper. Rome has the gold. But you see all the speculation they've done and all the debentures and all these other things that they've done with their speculation. And you look at the same thing going on right in this message. Like one fellow saying that the body of Jesus, like all sacrifices, had to be totally dissolved. And so it went back to gases. So you've got a gas bag making intercession for your confession. You're just stupid, ludicrous things because the man's not called to preach, but he's got a big mouth, so he's up in the pulpit leading the people. And he's leading the people down the wrong path. And you don't know who I'm talking about, so I'm not naming names. Okay. One minister years ago told me that he had figured out how many people would die at the Great Battle of Armageddon. He then went on to tell me how that he had taken the time to figure it all out. He said, the Bible says that the blood will go up to the bridle of the horses, and since the Valley of Megiddo is so many miles wide and by so many miles long, and it's somewhere around 200 square miles, and the average horse is about 16 to 17 hands, and the average person holds 10 pints of blood, then he, by calculating the volume, the volume of the 200 square miles by 16 hands high, and dividing it by 10 pints of blood, you know, he could tell you exactly how many people are going to die at the Valley of Megiddo during the Armageddon. And so I just popped his bubble, and I said, well, your assumption is based on the fact that the horse is standing up and he's not that dead laying on the ground, and the Bible doesn't say which way he is. And the man, just like a balloon, just deflated. You see, the problem is people are looking for, you know, black holes and just, you name it. They're looking for all kinds of things. And that's their focus. And we've got to have our focus on the adoption of sons. This is the junction. This is the time for the adoption. These other things, you can't deny that they're not happening. They are happening, but they're not for us. They're not for us. They're for the world. We shouldn't be looking at the judgment, although, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to understand it and know it. And maybe in discussion, talk about some of these things. I'm not saying that's, but our whole point should be, what are we doing personally to get ready for the going home? What kind of surrender is in our life, you see? Well, then he came back down to earth. But look, here's the point. For years I've heard men chasing off after things that do not pertain to this hour. And that's how they miss God altogether. Brother Branham said in a sermon, Reproach for the Word, he said, man is always the same as ever. Now, I'm going to say something again, and I want you, and I don't know whether it's being taped or not, but if it's on tape, I want you to listen at me, you on the tape. Don't you miss it, but study it. Men now is like they always have been. He's praising God for what he's done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing right now. He praises God for what he has done, he looks forward to what he will do, but he ignores what God's a doing. And there he misses the whole thing. Hope they get to see it. I hope you see it. See? Ignoring what he's doing. He knows what he has done, and he knows the promises, what he will do, but he fails to see what he's doing. Oh, you Pentecostals, if you're not an example of that, you're looking forward for something to happen. It's already happened right under you, and you don't know it. How oft would he have hovered you as a hen does her brood, but you would not. You thought more of your traditions and denomination than you did of his word and his spirit. Like the one big minister had the big church down in Louisiana, and he had Brother Branham down, you know, for breakfast in the morning, and then he gets up before Brother Branham is getting ready to preach, and he says, God, send us a prophet! God, send us a prophet! God, oh, we need a prophet! God, send us a prophet! And he was having breakfast with him that morning. Always looking forward, always looking back. Failing to recognize what God is doing right now. What is God doing for you right now? This is the time of the adoption of sons, Ephesians 1, Galatians chapter 4, Romans chapter 8. It's combed throughout the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 7. It's a time for the adoption. It's a time for us getting to the place where, look, where you just die to self. As I said, Christ Jesus died for you that you could live. Now, it's up to you to die to self so that Christ can live again in you. So we need to be careful in this hour because there are so many distractions out there. And let me say this while I'm at it. We can get distracted even by the things that God's prophet and the Bible speak about for this hour. Namely, we know that both William Branham and the Scripture spoke to us of the conditions and the judgments that would encompass the earth. We know that the end time judgments are to come, and we see them unfolding right before our very eyes in this hour. But now, let's look at what Brother Branham warned us about. He said, ignoring what he's doing. He knows what he has done. He knows the promise of what he will do, but he failed to see what he's doing. Our problem is that we see the judgments are coming, and that's fine. And that's a good thing because we can rejoice because as long as you put it in this perspective. Deuteronomy 28 says there's blessing and cursing. Blessed are you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, but cursed are you if you fail to hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. If you fail to listen carefully and attentively to the voice of the Lord your God. Now here's the thing. If you are under the blessings, you are not under the curse. Amen? And we know the curse is these things that are coming on the earth. The earth is under a curse. Now, Brother Brown taught us from his sermon, Jehovah Jireh. He said, if it wasn't written in the word for this age, I'd walk away from it. Anything that's not in that word, I don't believe it. Now, I wouldn't accept it. I don't say that I wouldn't believe it, but I don't accept it. I don't understand it. But when it's in this word and a promise for this age, I understand it. Do you? And why is that so important to us? Because God interprets His word by bringing it to pass. So, if it is for this hour, then watch it come to pass. And if it's not for this hour, then you're only speculating. You're mining the word of God for something that's not there. And here's why we must be very careful as well. Because if the thing coming is not for you, and you spend all your time focused on that thing, then that becomes your expectation. And Brother Branham said, you get what you're expecting. Huh? How about a little louder amen out there? You get what you expect. You get what you're focused on. Let's be focused on going home. Let's be focused on no matter how God does it, that's up to Him. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? So my focus is what God is doing right now. And what does the Scripture promise for the bride for right now in this hour? And the only thing that I know of where we should be keeping our focus is concerning the adoption of sons. Am I the obedient son? Am I saying and am I doing only what He has done and said? He's my example. He's our pattern. He's the example seed, as Brother Branham said. And to be an adoptable son, Brother Branham said, you have to be the right kind of a son. One who is always focused on his father's business. So if you see the things approaching, and you would have to have your head in the sand not to see the judgments in the earth, then I ask you, what is your promise for this hour? Is your promise to go through those judgments, or is it to ride above them? Noah knew the coming judgments, right? But what did he do? He applied himself. And he built the ark to the saving of his family. He rode above the floods. You see, we've seen the flooding, we've seen the earthquakes, we've seen the destruction, we've seen the tsunamis, we've seen the hurricanes and all these destructive forces coming on the earth. And the scientists are predicting all forms of mayhem and judgment, but Jesus promised in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Did you know that in that same sermon, the spoken word's original seed, Brother Branham, paragraph 89, Brother Branham quoted Jesus in John 5:24, and he said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall never come to the judgment or through the tribulation period, but has passed from death unto life. That's it. So why focus on something you're not going to go through? Like, you know, when people ask me questions about things way off in the future. Well, God interprets His word by bringing it to pass. So I don't know. How am I supposed to know what's going to happen at the end of the millennium? or you know, in the New Jerusalem. I mean, it hasn't been, all those things haven't been revealed. I have not seen, nor has ear heard, the things that God has in store for us. See? So why would people, like, you know, they spent 7 days on a convention talking about the third pole when Brother Branham himself said, I must not say anything about it, for if I do, the devil can get a hold of it and do great damage. How can you be preaching about third pole time after time after time when the prophet himself said, I must say nothing about it, lest the devil get a hold of it and do great damage? Oh, are you greater than the prophet? You got it all figured out. I'll tell you one thing for sure. Well, if you think you got it figured out, you don't. All we know, Brother Branham, it's been clearly identified. So we know that Hattie Wright, she said the right thing, and God gave life to her children. The fish that was dead, God gave life to the fish, and he spoke squirrels, giving life to squirrels that weren't there. Life, life, and life. That's all I know about it. That's all I can identify. It's the life of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they're life. So there's something in the word bringing life. That's it. End of sermon. I mean, end of third pole sermon. Yeah. Life, life, and life. That's it. All right. So how can we spend 7 weeks or 7 days, minister after minister after minister, coming forth and giving their versions of what's going to happen? Speculation. They're mining for gold in the wrong shaft. Let it alone. Let it alone. Therefore, we need to focus on what God promises for us in this hour, and not to focus too much on the judgments that are now in the earth, because those are not for you. We've got brethren sitting right here this morning. Brother Glenn, Sister Lori, their children. That tornado was heading right for the hotel in Joplin. It totaled, it destroyed most of the city, or a great part of that city. 1 mile wide, 6 miles long, the damage. Just twisted things, and just trees that looked like they had been at one time big and healthy, just twisted like little knots. Homes gone. People gone. And that tornado was headed right for the place we're in, and it took a 90-degree turn and went around them. Brother Peter, was it on the near the border of Illinois? Is that where you're living? Brother Peter, Sister Diane, a tornado heading right for their home went up and over their home and went continued its path of destruction on the other side. You will not come into the judgment. Keep that in mind. Keep that in focus. Though 1,000 be slain at my right hand and or at my left, and 10,000 at my right, it shall not come nigh thee. Isn't that what the Scripture promises? Well, listen. The Lord promised to curse them who do not hearken to the voice, but He also to promise to bless them who did hearken to the voice. Now, that is not to say that you won't be put to the test, because God puts all His children to the test. But instead of grousing about the manna every day being the same, we ought to be thankful that it appeared every day. Amen? Amen? And that their clothes never wore out. The soles of the shoes never wore out. We should be looking at the blessing daily, continuously. What is God doing? And like I said, you know, I've asked you people to write a book, put together a little book of all the times God has been there to show that He's with you. Times it could have been a car accident, could have been a tornado blow your house away. Could have been this, that, or the other. Illnesses that looked like you were going to be taken to the edge of death, and all of a sudden, miraculously, God come on the scene and healed you. All kinds of things. Keep that little book. Brother Brown kept a book of visions. The Bible tells us that God even keeps a book of remembrance. That's what we're talking about. Keep that little book. And also in that little book, write the promises of God for you. He promised me a body change. He promised me that I'd be conformed to the image of His firstborn son. He's promised me that He's my buckler, He's my shield, He's my protector. He promised me that if I be any otherwise minded, He'd reveal it to me. And then just focus on that. Take it to you in your prayer time. Take it to you in your study time. Have that quiet time. Have that time of peace, where God can reflect back and show you His presence. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. So do you think for one moment that I'm worried about the effects of global shift or polar shift? Not for one moment. Does that mean that I won't be careful where I go and what I do? Well, you better believe I'll be careful. In fact, Irenaeus tells a story that he heard of from Polycarp about John's utter loathing and contempt for those false brethren. And he says, there are also those who heard from Polycarp that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bath at Ephesus, and perceiving Cerinthus within, he rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, let us flee, lest the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of truth, is within. When he saw that blasphemer and teacher of false doctrine in the same bathhouse that he had gone to bathe in, he said, hey, I'm not going to bathe. I'm getting out of this place, lest the roof cave in. And Polycarp replied himself to Marcion, who met him on one occasion, and said, dost thou know me? You know, I'm Marcion. You know, he was the guy that was teaching the fullness of the Godhead was in the bride. He's also teaching that the female Holy Ghost, he's saying that every attribute of God, there's a female attribute, so there's another spirit, a female Holy Ghost. Well, that's being taught today. The Methodists took Christ, they took He out of all their songbooks. And Polycarp replied, I don't know thee. Yeah, he says, I do know thee. You're the firstborn of Satan. That was his reply. Such was the horror that the apostles and their disciples had against holding even verbal communication with any corrupter of the truth. As Paul also says, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. It doesn't mean be a snob to him. It just means let him alone. Don't have dealings with him. So I'm careful. I have to be careful, and I am careful, to go only where my Father wants me to go, and to speak only to those who are wanting to know the truth. I do not go to conventions just to go. I go to where God wishes for me to teach the truth only. Otherwise, it is a total waste of time to just go and sit and listen to someone who doesn't even know what they're talking about. I don't like to go to these conventions where they have about 8 preachers preaching. I go to where I preach. That's my ministry. You know, I have gone to Columbia just because it gave us an opportunity to present the doctrine to about 6,000-7,000 people. But I don't like it because to me it's a total waste of time listening to these people that are just popping off their mouth about things they have no idea what they're talking about. Now, from his sermon, Hidden Life in Christ, Brother Branham said, I'm a fundamentalist and everything must come from the Scripture. I wouldn't say that I wouldn't believe it, but I wouldn't understand it just right if it wasn't from the Scripture. If any time, during the time of the phenomenal part of the healing services, if any person, whatever you belong to, what church, if you ever see anything that's questioned that we do here and that's not in the Scripture, well, then you come to me because I certainly want to stay right in this book. Because this is the foundation, and all Scripture and all operation of the Holy Spirit must come from the Bible, then I believe it. Now, he could do something that wasn't in the Bible, it'd still be God, but I'll understand it better if it comes right from the Bible. I kind of like it that way because I know that it's right then. And we all have our Bibles. And you know, when we teach up here, you all have your Bibles. And you could read along right with us. And these notes are put on the internet, and you can take those quotes and say, you can search them out and say, okay, I thought that was kind of strange, but let me check that out. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, too many people want to take part of what Brother Brown says, and they won't take the whole thing. I challenge you to take the whole thing. And again, from his sermon, Questions and Answers, Brother Brown said, isn't that what he said? Many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I? See? Now, can't you see that you can't put your trust in healing campaigns? You can't put your trust in any kind of a sign like that? The only thing you can put your trust in is thus saith the Lord from the Bible. Now, church, that is exactly where I have tried to keep you, my children. And if something happens to me and God takes me out of this earth, don't you never fail. Remember this with all your heart. Stay with that word. Don't you leave that word. Anything contrary to it, leave it alone, no matter what it is. Then you know that it's right. See? And from his sermon, Calling Jesus on the Scene, Brother Branham said, I'm a prisoner to this word. Are you? See, I must stay right with it. I don't speak hard things to make people feel bad. I speak things sharp sometimes to make people look. See, an exclamatory, oh, look. See, to make them look at what it is, see. Then if you get them, maybe sometimes it provokes them, and about 9 times out of 10, if they get a little bit provoked, they'll go to searching the Scripture. And God does the rest of it then. You see, Just only look at the Scripture. If I ever say anything that's contrary to the Scripture, you're duty-bound to come, tell me about it, write me, or some way to let me know. And that's the reason I feel duty-bound to you to explain the Scriptures, just not to try to explain them, but just say the way that they are. That's what they say. And believe it like that. So you see, Brother Branham was of the mind that his absolute is the Word of God, and that we must take everything back to the Scripture. Now, therefore, what I spoke on Wednesday night about those who will take a quote or misapply Scripture to it, that shows right there they haven't got a clue what they're talking about. And for them to call themselves the teacher and then misapply Scripture, figure it out. Remember, Brother Branham said, he will be correctly dedicated to the Word as they have always been, indicated by God's Word and a vindicated. And because so much has been called God's truth by fakers, many true ministers will misunderstand that messenger. So whether they are true or not, it shows they don't know what they're talking about if they cannot rightly divide the Word. And if you cannot take what Brother Branham says, take it back to the Scripture correctly, then you don't understand it. And it's sad to say it's being done every day. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful for your Word, because your Word is our absolute. We're thankful that you gave us a prophet to point us to that Word, not to take us from the Word and just have us focus on the things that he says, but to actually, the ministry of Elijah was to restore the hearts of the children to the fathers, to bring us right back to the apostolic doctrine in the Scripture. And we're thankful, Father, that he did his job, and now it's up to us to do our job, and that is to stay true and stay in line with your Scripture, not only with your Scripture yesterday, but your Scripture today and your Scripture forever, lining it up and understanding the promises that we have for this day and keeping our focus upon them. For word upon word upon word will surely bring the results, and the fruits of the ministry will be, and the fruits of our focus will bring into view in us those things which you have, those promises which you have for us in this day. And so help us, Lord, just to yield. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
And then let's sing that song from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
The Lord.
Oh, excuse me.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.